Good evening, everybody. God bless you. You may be seated. Those that are only going to be here tonight, if you could come and sit in these two front rows here. This way it'll save us time later. Hallelujah. We'll be doing this again tomorrow night, but we want to make sure we minister to those who cannot be here tomorrow night. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Well, I don't know how long ago we were here, but it's always good to come back. Hallelujah. Amen. The Vaughns have been very dear friends of ours. And, you know, it's kind of strange because we're only in our own home 50 days a year. And we're traveling continually. And it sounds funny sometimes when seemingly you don't have any natural roots to say so-and-so's our good friends. But God knits people together. And he's knitted our hearts together, I don't know, probably 20 years now? More than that. Okay. So about 23 years, hallelujah. And I thank God for friends in the faith. Amen? People that we can walk with and share with and laugh, sometimes even cry. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to just exhort a few moments before we pray on a theme that the Lord put on our hearts for this new year. And I think it's fitting, too, with the idea that we're being praying for some folks tonight. I believe 2008, and, you know, we hear things all the time of what the new year is going to be, but I really feel in the pulse that we're getting from other prophets and apostles from other nations, we're really sensing that 2008 is going to be a year of signs and wonders. We're going to have a year of seeing people won to the Lord. It's going to be a banner year for the kingdom of God. And I believe God's wanting to prepare the church and make the church ready for the years that are yet down the road that are coming. And whatever they hold for us, we know that 2008, oh, there'll be times of struggle, perhaps, and some discouragement, because that's all part of life. Come on. But for the work of God, for the kingdom, the word that's coming very strongly is that this is going to be a year of harvest and a year of seeing the signs and wonders of the Lord, great miracles. I feel, how many of you have been standing in the gap praying for people in your family, and you've seen nothing so far? You haven't seen anything break loose. Just stand to your feet real quick, just for a moment. And when I'm praying, you just call these people's names to the Lord. Just speak them to the Lord. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, you said no one comes to you unless the Spirit of the Lord draws them. Holy Spirit, you know the request on each one of these people, and you hear the names that are going up before the throne of God even tonight. Lord, I pray that you intervene in the lives of these people that are being called out their names, and you would apprehend them, arrest them in the Spirit, and draw them to salvation. We just thank you for it right now. Lord, we pray that when 2009 comes, there will be a testimony night and say, this one, 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 hallelujah, has come back to the Lord or come to the Lord. We bless you now in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Because really, that's the whole message of the gospel. It's the whole heart of the Father. The season we talk about Jesus and His birth and all that goes with it, it all stems from the heart of the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, sometimes we try to make the things of God so difficult. Sometimes we try to make it so hard, but it's so easy. God loved that He sent His Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should have eternal life. And you and I have to be about the Father's business. God's looking for an army of believers who will rise up in this day, hallelujah, and step out of our comfort zone into the purposes of God. The theme that I'm going to be speaking just briefly tonight is called the Bless. How many here like to be blessed? Come on, don't lie. Get you up in the chair later and pray, prophesy over you. You'll find out. How many like to be blessed? How many can say you already are blessed in many ways? Come on. And then the break. That's a little bit more difficult to take. The bless, the break, and the give. We see this principle a couple of times in the Word of God. First of all, in Matthew 26, when verse 26, it was the Last Supper when Jesus was preparing His disciples that He was going to go to the cross, and He took some bread and He said, you know, this represents My body which is going to be broken for you. I want you to know something about the breaking in the Lord. There comes a multiplication. There comes an anointing. There comes an enlargement. There comes the grace of God. Don't be afraid of the breaking, because it brings a multiplication of God's purposes and His will in your life, because He's interested in getting you to the place where you can give out of what He's given you. You see, no sense in you and I being blessed and keeping it to ourselves. Nothing, I'm convinced more and more, 99.99% of the things God blesses you and I with, the endowments He gives us, the blessings He gives us, the gifts, the callings, talents, and abilities that He gives us are not for us, but they're for those that we're supposed to touch and those we're supposed to reach to. And I found that Christians today, for the most part, we've been in about 42 nations. Of course, that's not everywhere, but it's a good sampling. I found that Christianity today, those in the Lord, we're really comfortable in our salvation. We're really comfortable that we're making it. We're really comfortable that we've got it together in our life, and we're not picking up the burden of the Father, which is for the lost. We're not picking up the burden. Our heart is not aching. We're not interceding. We're not crying out to God and being activated and used for Him to reach the lost. That's His desire. Sometimes we think church is for us. All this is for me. My needs, my wants. It isn't that God won't minister to you. It isn't that God won't touch you. It isn't that God won't meet you. But it goes way beyond you and I. It goes beyond these four walls. And it goes to the othermost parts of our community where there are those that are waiting to hear and receive the Word of the Lord. I want you, if you would, to turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And in Matthew 14, 14, there was a multitude who had gathered. And as they gathered, it says that Jesus healed all the sick. Everyone who gathered, Jesus ministered to. It goes on to say that the disciples began to be concerned because there wasn't any provision to feed these people. They were concerned about the natural. They were concerned, how was this multitude going to be fed, because the hour was late. And they said to Jesus, send these people away, because this is a desolate place. And Jesus says they don't have any need to leave. Give them to eat. And His disciples says, but Lord, all we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus says, bring it here. And He commanded the multitude to sit down. And once they sat down, the Word of God says He looked to heaven. Oh, I love that. He didn't look at the natural circumstance. He didn't look at the situation. He didn't even receive the negative report of His disciples. He looked to the source. Hallelujah. He looked to heaven. And then He took those elements, the bread and the fish, and He lifted it up to heaven and He blessed it. When He blessed it, He broke it, once again, about the multiplication that comes. And once He broke it, then He gave it to His disciples. And He told His disciples, now go and give it to the people. When the disciples had finished giving it out, there were yet 12 baskets full. Say with me, there was more than enough. There was more than enough. And it says that there were 5,000 men besides women and children. I like to have a little laugh here. How many of you gentlemen are married? We could easily say there could have been about 4,000 wives there. So now we're up to about 9,000. And all of you young ladies, now don't act shy here. Where there's 1,000 bachelors, there's going to be at least 2,000 young ladies. Come on. Oh, don't look so self-righteous. Come on, ladies. Wherever you're going to find some single men, come on. There's going to be a couple thousand women there too. So then kids, they say each family has about 2.1 child. We were fortunate enough to have all three. Hallelujah. And so the number grew. So this crowd was huge. Jesus had already healed all their sick. Isn't it just like, we're just like the disciples. We see miracle after miracle after miracle, and yet when the next need comes up in our life, oh boy, how is this ever going to happen? Because we fail to believe that God has everything that we need. I like where it says, you better send these people away because this is a desolate place. This is a hard place. I hear three basic things almost everywhere I go. Number one, oh, I love the Lord. Oh, say everybody, we love the Lord. Then I hear, oh, we're believing for the loss. Say we're believing for the loss. Then I usually hear this. This is a desolate place. This is a hard place. Guess what, honey? It's hard everywhere. And without the power of the Holy Ghost, come on. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, listen, our success is not in numbers. First of all, come on. Because you know what? Even though Jesus always met the need of the multitude, He always was looking for those who would be disciples. God's looking for us to come out of the crowd and show up. Come on. And be enlisted in His service. And be used for His glory. Some connotation says that there was a little young boy, 12 years old, who these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish belonged to. How many here would agree with me that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for a 12-year-old's lunch was a big lunch? And if that was the case, He represents the type of Christian I want to be. That when the Lord required it or when He was asked for it, we don't hear a lot, well, wait a minute, what about me and what am I going to have? If I give out of what I have, I won't have anything. He willingly gave it. I believe that's why the Lord tells us we have to be like children. Hallelujah. Just simple faith. It doesn't take anything too difficult to serve God. We make it difficult. But others said that it was a young servant. And he actually was the servant of the disciples. So guess whose lunch he was packing? The disciples. And of course, their faith was so small, even though they had just witnessed Jesus healing all the sick, they didn't once for a moment think, well, you know, we'll share our lunch. And they represent sometimes those of us who, you know what, we're saved and on our way to heaven. And, you know, if my mama don't go, don't bother me. If my brother don't go, don't bother me. Well, it better bother us. You ever hear it sing that old song? Anybody, I'm on my way to Canaan. Anybody ever sing that? Oh, thank God you haven't. We used to sing it. I'm on my way to Canaan land. If my mama don't go, don't bother me. If my brother don't go, don't bother me. It better bother us. We need to be active, reaching out to the lost. Hallelujah. But this place of breaking, first of all, I want you to know, God never brings us to the breaking to destroy us. But He always brings us there for the multiplication. You see, I believe with all my heart, unless we go through some testings and pass it, how do you pass it? By keeping your eyes on Jesus, not looking at the circumstance or getting caught up in the natural surroundings like His disciples had just got caught up in. They'd just seen Jesus work mighty miracles, but then in the next verse, they're saying, send these people away because we don't have anything to feed them. But when you can keep your eyes on Jesus, even in the midst of a storm, hallelujah, even in the hard time, you get to the place where the things of God are so real to you. And you've experienced such reality in the fulfillment of the promise of God in your life, that you're not ashamed and you're bold to go out and tell everybody you can find what Jesus Christ has done for you. Verse 22 of the same passage of 14, it says Jesus was up in the mountain after he had fed the multitude. He's up there, he was praying. I get excited about this verse because you know what the Bible says where Jesus is at this very minute and what he's doing right now? It says that he's on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. Do you know what Jesus is doing right now? He's praying for you. And you know what? I'm confident 1,000 plus that Jesus' prayers get answered. He's praying for you and I right now. And while he was praying, his disciples were sent on a ship and they're on their way across the water and there came a storm. And the ship is rocking, there's all kinds of trouble, and Jesus comes, he hears the cry, and he comes, he's standing on the shore, and instead of, you know, having any faith, are you a ghost? And then Jesus began to speak, and Peter said, Jesus, bid me to come to you. By this time, Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he starts walking on the water. He is so focused on the Lord. He's so focused on Jesus. He's not looking or caught up in the storm any longer. He's just looking to the Lord. But suddenly, the winds and the storm and everything that's around him catches his attention again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you're walking in life and I'm trusting the Lord. I'm believing God. I'm going to stand. I'm going to believe the Lord. And the next thing you know, you get caught up in the storms around you. You know what happened to Peter? He started to sink. Because when you look to the natural thing, when you put your trust in what's naturally happening, you'll never be able to be supernatural. Hallelujah. You'll never be able to walk in the power of the supernatural. You'll never be able to walk in the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. Because it takes faith. Hallelujah. Just a little bit of faith. As much as a mustard seed. That isn't too big. But God wants us to grow in our faith. And the only way we grow in our faith is from miracle to miracle and wonders of wonders. And when God does something so powerful and we don't get distracted and we don't get caught up in with all the problems around us, but we keep looking towards Him. He reaches out to him as he's sinking, pulls him back up on that ship and calms the storm. I want you to know that when we keep our eyes on the Lord and on His promise, He will calm the situation in your life and bring you to the place of giving out. Luke chapter 4 says it beautifully. It's another account of Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was baptized. And when he came up out of the water, it says in Luke chapter 4 verse 1, he was full of the Holy Ghost as he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. I want to tell you something. We got to be people of the Holy Ghost. We got to be people who are Spirit-filled people. We got to be people who are walking in the anointing. Hallelujah. You know, there's too many things to nowadays that want to put away the things of the Spirit and calm things down, and let's not get too excited. But I want to tell you, I'll be yet more vile in the morning. Hallelujah. We need to know that our heritage, we're Holy Ghost people. Come on. Remember years ago, we used to sing with much pride, they call me a holy roller, but that's okay. We had revival meetings in Herkimer, New York. It's a little village upstate. On a Friday night, we go out with the accordion and a red pickup flatbed truck. And we'd be praising the Lord and people would be walking by and get slain in the Holy Ghost. We'd load them on the truck and bring them over to Mike Savella's house, unload them in the living room, and the prayer team would take over. We had college kids hanging out the window throwing bologna sandwiches at us and spitting on us. Six of them are in the church today in leadership. Hallelujah. Got radically saved on the street. Hallelujah. Not saying that's necessarily the same exact thing you've got to do, but we've got to shake and rattle and roll. Come on. We've got to put some movement to our faith. We've got to believe what we have is precious and what we have is important and what we have is for everyone. And you know what? The old lie of the enemy that says keep your mouth shut and just be quiet. Keep your religion to yourself. No, this is a day to speak up. This is a day not to be ashamed of the gospel or the Lord Jesus Christ. But it goes on to say in Luke chapter 4 that as Jesus was led by the Spirit, it also says in verse 13 that the enemy had departed from him. Hallelujah. When the temptations were over, that he departed. And it adds, just for a season. I remember when my son first got out of Bible school, I said, you've got to go work in a church, Tommy, because I want you to learn the good, the bad, and the ugly of church life. I said that in one church, and one woman got up and started storming out of the church. I said, honey, you better get a mirror. Did you catch that? Because there's good, bad, and ugly that takes place. Come on. And sure enough, he ended up in the ugly right away. Sometimes God wants to promote us quickly. And it was bad. The man of faith that I am and the prophet of God I am, I said to my son, keep driving and don't go there. Get out of there! But he wouldn't go. So when everything got better and things were good, he came home. He was just walking so proud. Said, well, Daddy, I got the ugly over with. I said, oh, honey, let me sit down. Let me tell you something. It comes back around again. That's life. But it goes on to say that Jesus went to Nazareth, his hometown. He went to synagogue, which was the church in that day. And he stood up. He was given the book, and he stood up and he began to read Isaiah 61, actually. And so in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news, to proclaim liberty to the captive and to set those that are in prison free, and to recover the sight to those who are blind. What do we have to give out? Have we been invested in by the power of the living God? What has He given us? What do we have to give out? The good news. We have power through prayer to see those who are bound to be set free. We have power in prayer to believe for healing. Hallelujah. Come on. We've been invested by the Holy Spirit with so much anointing and power. Hallelujah. We should be rocking our communities. Listen, the lie of the enemy is nobody wants to hear it. The lie of the enemy is you're in a hard place. You're in a difficult place. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is moving by His Spirit in 2008 again. And we're going to see salvations. We're going to see hard cases. We're going to see people who have resisted the gospel come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because God wants the army to arise. He wants the church to be stronger than we've ever been before. Hallelujah. It's time to stand up. It's time to bring the battle right to the front line. It's time to stand shoulder to shoulder and not break rank. It's time to stand together and declare together what God's Word and what God's promises are. You know, prophetically sometimes it can be really discouraging, not only to the people who receive the Word, but to us as prophets, because you know what? The Word of the Lord comes forth and then we maybe don't see it. And then we slide into comfort zone and say, oh well. I was just in a church not too long ago and I just think this was so powerful. They had received a prophetic word that they were going to turn soil. And it was a word relating to a building and that they were going to turn soil or break ground for a building. And when the 1 year anniversary of that prophetic word came, because there was a time, I think, set to the word, it didn't happen. But you know what this pastor did? He got a big bucket and put a bag of dirt in it. And he went and got a shovel, a special shovel that people use to break ground when you're going to build. And he stood on his platform and put that shovel into that bucket of dirt and said, the word of God says we were going to turn the earth. Break the ground open. By faith we're doing it. And guess what? Nothing happened. But he would not move from the promise of God. Lo and behold, 2 months into the anniversary of that word, They were in a church maybe smaller than your little white church. Very limited in space, very limited in what they can do. Lo and behold, there was a huge church that was down to 30 members, and the pastor was leaving, and the pastor calls them up and says, would you like this church? Lock, stock, and barrel. Hallelujah. Walked into a building very similar to yours, just a phenomenal building. Hallelujah. And they took that bucket of sand with them, and the first service they went and they threw it all over that property. Hallelujah. Sometimes we limit God because we try to work it out in our mind how He's going to fulfill the word He gave us. And 99% of the time, we're wrong. And because we box God in, then the enemy's able to come to bring discouragement because he says, where's your promise? Where is this thing you were promised? I want you to know that the prophetic word, and when God speaks, He doesn't talk just to hear Himself talk. He speaks because He's going to fulfill what He said He would do. And some of you have had prophetic words over the years, and maybe even your church has. Resurrect those words. Take them out, and maybe before New Year's or after New Year's or New Year's, whatever you want to do, I'm not putting a time limit on you. Take them out and have some people just begin to read them. Just begin to, personal ones and corporate ones, just begin to read the Word of God, hallelujah, and the promise of God, and then begin to make prophetic declarations and proclamations, standing in faith, saying we're not going to be moved, hallelujah. Jesus had already healed all the multitude, but yet when there came time for another miracle to take place for them to be fed, the disciples quickly said, you know, better send them away. That's just what the enemy would like to say to us. Oh, you want what? Forget it. Hasn't happened thus far. It's not going to. We rebuke you, devil. We call you a liar because everything that God has spoken and everything He's proclaimed will take place. Hallelujah. And I'm taking my hands off of it and saying how it's got to happen and just say, Holy Ghost, do it. Come on now. Someone say amen or oh me. Hallelujah. I want us just to lift our hands to the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Holy Spirit, have your way here tonight. Holy Spirit, come and work miracles, signs and wonders, oh God, accomplishing great things for your honor and for your glory. Hallelujah.